Coming up next on Renewing Your Mind.
One sin committed by one man against holy God is sufficient to condemn the entire human race. That's how holy God is. And that is how serious just one sin by one person is.
As we look out at all of the trouble and discord surrounding us, it's easy to become discouraged. How did the world become so sick? Well, diagnosing the problem is essential before we can address the cure. So let's join Dr. Stephen Lawson for the message titled, The Depravity of God's Image Bearers.
My text is Romans 3, verse 23, which is a launching point for us. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It has been well said that a right diagnosis is half the cure. And that is certainly true as we evaluate the human race, because something has gone desperately wrong. We look all around us and we see evidences of illness, moral illness everywhere. We see conflict and death and war and strife and conflict and everything. But these are only the symptoms. The real question is, what is the disease? Well, what is causing all of this to send the human race into a distortion of what God had originally designed? What has gone wrong with the image of God in man? Many would say, well, it's outside of man is the problem. It's his environment. It's where he grew up. It's the outside forces that were brought to bear upon his life. Others would say it was his upbringing and how he was raised. Even others, perhaps more biblically, would say, well, the problem is the evil world system around us. It is the devil that is causing havoc. And to some extent, those would be true. But if we are to have a right diagnosis of what has gone wrong with the image of God in man, it would be boiled down to one simple word. The word is sin. The problem is not outside of us. The real problem is what is inside of us. It is sin. So what is sin? Well, sin is any lack of conformity to the holiness of God. It is any lack of obedience from the heart to the Word of God. It is falling short of the glory of God. It is any departure from the will of God. And the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. It's what lies inside of us. We are the problem. And specifically, it is sin that is within us. It is the image of God that has been dramatically and drastically marred by sin. The image of God is still within us. The image of God, that which gives capacity to humans to know God, to love God, to obey God, but because of sin, all of that has been rendered inoperative. To use an illustration, think of a car that has been totaled, a car that has undergone a very serious wreck. It still remains a car. It still has the wheels and the steering wheel and all of that, but it is completely inoperative. It cannot be driven. It cannot meet the design for which it was originally built. And so it is with the image of God and sin. We still have the image of God, but we have undergone a total wreck because of sin. Theologians refer to it as total depravity, whereby our mind, our affections, and our will have been totally devastated by sin. And that is what we want to address in this message. If you would, turn with me to Romans 5 and verse 12, and we'll spend most of our time today in the book of Romans. But in Romans 5, verse 12, we see a clear statement of what theologians refer to as original sin. So if you would, look at verse 12, and this verse is very important. One theologian has said you can determine how skilled of a theologian a person is by how well their Bible is worn at this very one verse. So Romans 5 in verse 12, therefore, just as through one man, let's just stop there for a moment. We know who this one man is. This one man is Adam. Though he is not mentioned here, we know exactly who he is. It is Adam. It is through one man sin entered into the world. Several things to note about that. First of all, sin is in the singular. It's not in the plural. So it's referring to not just all of the sins that would come, though that is true, but it's referring to the principle of sin. It's referring to the power and the pollution of sin. It entered into the world through the one sin that was committed by Adam. Also, please note that sin entered into the world. That means it previously existed. It was not created when Adam sinned. Sin already existed with Satan. And in 1 John 3, verse 8, we read that it was the evil one who, quote, sinned from the beginning, close quote. So sin entered through the floodgate of Adam's first sin, and it came pouring into the world like a tsunami. And with sin, the inevitable consequence came, death. Death through sin. God had said in Genesis 2, verse 17, in the day that you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. And the moment he disobeyed God defiantly and ate of that fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, immediately spiritual death came. And immediately physical death began to course through Adam's body, and he would eventually die. So Adam opened the door to sin, and sin opened the door to death. And we read in verse 12 of the devastating effect. It says, so death spread. It spread like a malignant cancer. It says, to all men. That means to every human being in every place, in every generation, in every age, on every continent. Death spread to all men, and we would also add to every part of all men. And here's why. Because all sinned. That is an extraordinary statement. And what we learn from this is that Adam acted as our representative. Theologians refer to it as federal headship, that Adam acted on behalf of the entire human race. And what Adam did affected every person who would ever be conceived within the womb. It says all sinned, and it happened at that moment. Adam's sin was credited to all of us the moment that Adam sinned. Before we even were conceived in our mother's womb, sin had already been charged to our account, and it was the result of this one man. This is reinforced, by the way, in this context, if you would allow your eye to look at verses 15 through 19, there is a repetition of this as Paul will now reinforce, like driving a nail into a board and hitting it multiple times. This is the emphasis that Paul is making. In verse 15, if you'll note, we read in the midst of the verse, by the transgression of the one, the many died. The word transgression here is a word that means one false step, a deviation from the path. And by this one false step by Adam, we read, the many died. It's a verb tense. That means they all died at once. In verse 16, we read, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. The judgment here is the divine verdict of God upon the human race. And the condemnation here is the divine punishment upon the human race. So the punishment is the execution of the verdict. The condemnation is the result of the judgment. And it was upon the entire human race. Verse 17, it's reinforced further. By the transgression of the one, and that one is Adam. And by the way, it was by the one transgression of the one man. And let me just pause here for a moment. Here we see the seriousness of sin against a holy God. That just one sin committed by one man against holy God is sufficient to condemn the entire human race. That's how holy God is. And that is how serious just one sin by one person is. The entire human race condemned and confined to the path that leads to destruction. So in verse 17, by the transgression of the one, death reigned. Death reigned like a cruel tyrant, like a cruel dictator to dominate the lives of every person that would ever be born in the entire human race. No one would enter into this world in a state of neutrality towards God. Everyone who is born into this world comes under the mastery and the dominion of sin, enters in the shackles of the chains of sin. Verse 18, through one transgression, and that again referring to Adam's original sin, through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men. And this condemnation is eternal punishment in the flames of hell. Verse 19, one more time. Through one man's disobedience, and here the word disobedience is substituted for transgression. And the word disobedience refers to a willful defiance against God. And what is the result? Through the one man's disobedience, the many, referring to the entire human race, were made sinners because Adam's sin was imputed to every person who would ever be conceived. And it occurs in the womb. I think we see here the seriousness of original sin. What's wrong with the human race? The answer is Adam's sin. So what we see here is taught the doctrine of imputation, that the action of one man is regarded as the actions of many others. It is based upon the principle of federal headship. And Adam's disobedience was our disobedience, was really regarded as our disobedience. And his death has become our death. So that's number one, original sin. And I have to ask you how familiar you are with Romans 5, verses 12 through 19, because this is a cornerstone passage for any understanding of what has gone wrong with the image of God in man. But this now leads second to total depravity. And the second main heading, we've gone from now original sin to now total depravity. And if you would come with me to Romans 3 and verse 9, as we stay in the book of Romans. Not only was the sin of Adam charged to each and every one of us, but there was also something equally devastating. There has been the transmission of Adam's sin nature. at the moment of conception that has been passed down to us. So with original sin, Adam's sin was charged to our account, but that was just in God's ledger. That was just in God's bookkeeping. What this is now saying is that Adam's sin nature, and once he sinned, inside of Adam there was spiritual death, that has been passed down now subsequently from generation to generation to every single person. I want to bring to your attention a verse that I find very interesting. It's Genesis 5 and verse 1. After we read that God made man in his own image, which was Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. Notice Genesis 5 verse 1, the text reads different with the children that came from Adam. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. Okay, we understand that, but now look at verse 3, after Adam has sinned. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son. Watch this. In his own likeness. According, watch this, to his image. And named him Seth. We've gone from man being made in the image of God to now man being created in his own image. And it indicates there has been a radical change that has taken place within the human soul, a devastating change that has occurred within man after the sin of Adam. And it is that the sin of Adam has permeated the whole of his own being. And as he procreated and had a child, his sin nature, intellect, affections, and will, all marred by sin, has been passed down to the next generation. Let me give you an illustration. If you would, think of a glass of water, just pure, clean water that has been filtered. It's uncontaminated. And then you take an eyedropper and pull up a measure of cyanide, deadly, poisonous cyanide, and drop it into the glass of water. That cyanide would immediately permeate the whole of that glass of water. And that is what has happened to sin. It's not compartmentalized into one area of a person's psyche, but from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, every inch and every ounce of their soul, the real person, who they are on the inside, has been poisoned by the fatal cyanide of sin. And so I want you to think, before we look at this text, that man's mind is now darkened. He cannot see with understanding the truth. Man's affections are defiled, and he cannot love God, and does not love God, and cannot pursue God. He has no desire for God. And then his will is dead, and he cannot choose God. To put it another way, man's mind is blinded by sin. He cannot see with spiritual understanding the truth that is before him. His affections are now totally depraved, and he loves what he should hate. And he hates what he should love. And his will is bound in sin. The will is not an island unto itself, able to act contrary to the affections and to the mind. But there is a solidarity within man in which his entire being is bound by sin. And in chapter 3, verse 23, the text that I read as we began this lesson, "For all have sinned." Let's just stop right there. Every person in every place, on every continent, in every generation, for all have sinned. The word sinned here means to miss the mark, to err, to go wrong, to wander from the path. Please note it's translated as a past tense. Looking back on all of human history, all have sinned. And now he says, and fall short, and he shifts to the present tense. In other words, everyone has sinned up to this point, and everyone continues to fall short of the glory of God. The glory of God here is the sum of all the moral perfections of God himself. The glory of God is simply the outshining of the holiness of God. Picture some scales, and on one side of the scales is placed your life. Every thought, every word, every deed, every reaction, everything you've ever done in the entirety of your life, including all of the mountains of sin, on one side of the scales. And on the other side of the scales is placed the glory of God. We have all been weighed in the balances and fallen short of the glory of God. And the soul that sins, it shall surely die, Ezekiel 18, verse 3. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6, verse 23. And the day that you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die, Genesis 2, 17. What hope do we have? Well, nothing in ourselves. Our only hope is outside of ourselves. Our only hope is found in heaven, at the throne of grace, from which God sent his only begotten Son into this world to seek and to save that which is lost, to go to the cross and to there be our sin bearer upon the cross, 1 Peter 2:24, and to be the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world, John 1:29. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, John 4:42. He has come into this world on a mission, a rescue mission, an emergency rescue mission to save those who are perishing. And it requires that we would turn to him and repent of our sin and throw ourselves upon his mercy and say, "Have mercy upon me, the sinner." To believe in our heart that he is the Son of God and that God has raised him from the dead. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, therein lies our only hope. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." If you have never believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, I call upon you this very moment to put your trust in him, to throw yourself upon his mercy. And Jesus says, "Him who comes unto me, I will in no wise cast him out." He's calling and inviting you to come to himself. He is your Savior. He is your Lord. If you will but throw yourself at his feet and believe upon him, may God give you that grace to do that this moment.
What comfort to know that God will never cast out his own. We're safe with him. We're glad you've joined us for Renewing Your Mind. I'm Lee Webb. Our teacher today was Dr. Stephen Lawson, and his message is from a recent online streaming event. Our theme, Made in the Image of God. These are timely messages, and I hope you'll be able to join us the rest of the week. Our resource offer this week provides you with even more study material on the subject of human dignity and worth. It's R.C. Sproul's book, The Hunger for Significance. Kirk Parsons says, "This is precisely the book the church needs to help us rightly grasp the dignity and purpose of each and every human being, all image bearers of our holy and gracious God. It's a book that will help you gain a biblical perspective in the midst of our challenging circumstances." We'll send a copy to you for your gift of any amount when you call us at 800-435-4343. You can also go online to renewingyourmind.org. Your generous donations help us continue producing and distributing teaching like we heard today, and much more. For example, we're excited about the upcoming release of the new Spanish edition of the Reformation Study Bible. It will be available next week, September 1st. This is a strategic resource because it's taking God's Word to regions of this world that the Reformation did not reach to any great extent. So we're grateful for your financial support. I hope you'll make plans to be with us tomorrow as Dr. H.B. Charles Jr. continues our theme, and the title of his message is The Dominion of God's Image Bearers.
This is not the result of some evolutionary process. Mankind does not win dominion because they've won some contest of the survival of the fittest. This is the work of God. God gave man dominion over the works of his hands.
Please join us Thursday for Renewing Your Mind.